Good evening. You have a good crowd out this evening. It's good to see everyone. Like I said, it's been kind of a spring-like weather here last day or two, and it's been really nice, but I hear a lot of sniffling, and there is some junk in the air. But we're glad it's good to be with you this evening. This evening's lesson is going to be coming out of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 30. And this is talking about Epaphroditus being sent to the Philippians. But we're also going to look at the character of Timothy as well later on in the lesson. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. And we'll go ahead and read that. Starting in verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord, and with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. So let's talk about Epaphroditus for a few moments. We're going to learn about Epaphroditus. We're also going to see that they talked highly about Epaphroditus. He was highly talked about. Well, who was Epaphroditus? Well, he's a messenger from the Philippian church. Paul called him my brother, my fellow worker, also a fellow soldier in Philippians 2:25 there. You know, each of these characteristics leads to believe that Paul knew him well. Paul knew him very well. Paul saw the need to send Epaphroditus to the Philippians. Also, he was also called a minister or a messenger to Paul's need, also found in Philippians 2:25 there. Paul felt confidence in him. You know, I often wonder what Paul would say about us. What would Paul say about us? Would he have that same confidence in us? Another point might be that he had been sick. Epaphroditus had been sick even to the point of death. You know, in Philippians 2:27 there. But God showed him mercy. God had mercy on him. But Paul was also shown mercy as well. Another point might be that Paul tells them that he was sending Epaphroditus, but he was eager to send him. And in this eagerness, he was willing to send him, and then as he was being sent, he would be less concerned because he could trust Epaphroditus to carry out what needed to be carried out. Also, they were told to receive him in the Lord with joy, with all joy, Philippians 2:29. Well, our joy is found in the Lord. You know, without Christ, we have no joy. Without Christ, we have no joy. Many times we look for joy in the wrong places. Also, I might mention that they were told to him to hold him in high regard. And also in Philippians 2:29 there, hold him in high regard. In other words, respecting him. That would definitely make Epaphroditus feel right at home, knowing that Paul talked highly about him to them. Also, he came close to death for the work of Christ. In Philippians 2:30 there, he came close to the death for the work of Christ. He was dedicated. He was dedicated, and nothing got in his way of being a great servant. You know, and talking about being a great servant, sometimes we make excuses of why we don't do things. But this Epaphroditus, he did not make excuses. Even though he was sick to the point of death, he still wanted to come see the Philippians. He saw the need. He also risked his life. He risked his life to be able to help Paul spread the gospel. Paul was, another point that I might make is Paul was also going to send Timothy. Paul talked about Timothy here. Timothy had a kindred spirit. He had a kindred spirit and a concern. He was concerned for their welfare. Paul knew of the Philippians' condition. That's why he was sending these men to make sure things were done right. And they needed to be corrected. They needed to be corrected. You know, Paul himself was wanting to come when he had the chance. He wanted to go to the Philippians as well. But Paul, we know that Paul was a busy man. Paul was a busy man, but he was concerned for all the churches. He was concerned for all the churches being set up. If you would, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's look at verses 27 and 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. The Bible reads, "I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." Verse 28, "Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." He spent many sleepless nights. So he had a worry for the church, but he was a busy man. He had to send these men. He sent these men that were worthy. He had to send them because they were worthy and they could teach the truth. They could teach the truth. You know, we can tell that Paul had a love for Timothy. He had a love for Timothy. He had a love for Epaphroditus. And he was very close to them. You know, but he also had a love for the church. You know, do we have the same type of love for the church today? Do we have that same type of love that he has? And I would hope so. We need to keep in mind that we know that Timothy was young. Timothy was young. Paul had prepared Timothy, though. You know, and being young, there's the danger of maybe him becoming arrogant and maybe being full of himself. But Paul kept that in check. You know, he studied under Paul. He learned from Paul. And we too, we can learn many things from Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible reads, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness." Let no one look down on your youthfulness. He knew Timothy could handle the task. He knew Timothy could handle the task that was set before him. The condition of the Philippians at this time, you know, they were seeking after their own interests and not those of Christ Jesus. You know, that's why we need men who are not afraid to speak the truth according to the Scriptures. That's why we need men of the Scriptures today. Paul had to be stern in his letters, especially in his letters to the Corinthians. He had to be stern with his letters and at times so he could get them to back on the right track, so he could get them started going in the right direction. He needed to be stern, though. You know, there's a pattern sometimes that the church can fall into. We can start out doing what the Scriptures tell us to do, but then we start trying to do what we want to do, or try to satisfy ourselves, or try to satisfy others. You know, the world views worship as entertainment. The world does. But our worship is done in spirit and in truth. And in John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible reads, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." You know, we should come to worship with a good attitude. A poor attitude means that we are not putting ourselves into our worship to God. You know, I've heard some say, I'm not a very good singer. You know, I've heard many say that, so they may not sing, or they may not sing out, or they may not sing at all. All I can say is that if we are aiming for heaven, we better enjoy, or we better love to sing, because there will be singing in heaven. God knows if our heart is in our worship. He knows our hearts. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible reads, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So we are commanded to sing. We are commanded to sing. It doesn't say that we have to be good. We are commanded to sing. Everything we do in our worship should help us to edify and build one another up. We are teaching each other as we sing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible tells us, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, we cannot be those who seek our own interests. That's what gets us in trouble. We need to be seeking after Christ and what He wants us to do. You know, Timothy and Epaphroditus, they were trusted men, and they were sent to make sure that the Philippians were doing things that pleased God and not things that pleased themselves. We can get selfish in our ways. We can get selfish in our ways. Have you ever heard that our worship is boring? And I'm pretty sure some of us can say that we have. And you know, I wonder at times, does it seem like we are just going through the motions? Are we just punching our ticket? Well, I would hope not, because we need to look forward to assembling together and worshiping together. You know, Timothy served with Paul. You know, Timothy served with Paul, and Paul said that he was like a child serving his father. So Timothy, he got to sit at Paul's feet and watch him and learn from Paul. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be great to sit at the feet of Paul? It would be great if we could do that. But we have the scriptures that tell us about Paul and how he was with Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy had the luxury working with Paul, so he was blessed to learn from Paul. That was a great compliment to Timothy. It's almost like Paul thought of Timothy as a son. You know, it's good that Timothy was able to sit at Paul's feet and be taught the things that Paul knew. Paul had all that wisdom and he shared it with Timothy. Even though Timothy was young, you know, the challenge for him, like I said earlier, would be that he might be arrogant, but Paul was able to keep him humble. Paul was able to keep him humble. We know that Paul knew about humility. He knew about humility. In James chapter 4 and verse 10, James chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible reads that, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. It's better to be humble than to be prideful. You know, pride can get in the way of giving ourselves the credit instead of giving the glory to God. And we need to stay away from that. All the glory goes to God. You know, we talked about Timothy, we're talking about Epaphroditus. And then also the last thing I wanted to mention here is about Epaphroditus. He had a longing to see the Philippians. You know, he was sick and he was bummed out that he was not able to come till now. He wanted to come earlier, but he was sick. He was sick to the point of death. But his illness hindered him from being able to visit them. It kept him away from doing what he wanted to do. Paul wanted them to receive him in the Lord. And they were also told to hold him in high regard, a deep respect. Paul said nothing but good things about Epaphroditus. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12, the Bible tells us, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 32, he who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. And that's what the Philippians were needing. They were needing this discipline. They were needing some help here in that reproof and correction. But they were going to, the Philippians were going to have to be corrected. But then Paul was wanting to send men who could make sure that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. How trustworthy are we with God's word? How trustworthy are we with God's word? Well, hopefully we are doing what we need to do. Paul knew these men very well. He let the Philippians know about them, and they were well trusted. Both men were going to bring encouragement. Are we encouraging? we should be, and we shouldn't tear each other apart. We should be encouraging. You know, we need to have that love for each other, and a love for God's word is something we need more of. We need more love for God's word. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5, the Bible reads, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. God gives us encouragement. So that tells us we need to do the same. We need to be encouraging to one another, building one another up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible reads, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. We can find a way to encourage one another to be better servants each and every day. You know, it's great to serve the Lord together and be able to share our wisdom to those who are lost. Epaphroditus risked his life to complete his service to God. Are we risking our lives for the sake of Christ? We need to step up and not be afraid to be rejected. Jesus was rejected. He was rejected a lot. But it didn't stop him. It did not stop him. You know, there will be, what's encouraging to us is that there will be those that are hungry for God's word, that will listen. There are those who will want to listen. They are hungry for God's word. They know they're missing something. You know, Jesus was about his Father's business. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, the Bible reads, and he said to them, why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Jesus understood his task. He understood his task. Do we understand our task as Christians? And that's, do we understand what we're supposed to be doing? Are we looking for ways to serve? Or are we waiting? Are we sitting back and waiting to be asked to do things? Well, we need to take the initiative and look for things that need to be done. You know, I pose a question here. Would Paul have good things to say about us? Would he have those good things to say about us? What would you want said about you with Paul? And hopefully we are doing the good things. He would say good things about us. But that's the question I have tonight is, would Paul have good things to say about us? May we always strive to serve God the way he deserves to be served. Tonight, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you're struggling in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.